So what do you think, Cross City? Is that pretty awesome or what? So after the service, out here to my right, on your left, so the kids are going to be out there so you can get an autograph or a picture, find out more about his little feet. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to take a moment and really kind of connect the dots of why we're doing this morning. Because a lot of times when we think about going beyond the walls of the church, we don't know what that looks like. But now you do, because there's one of our own, and this is their story. So if you didn't meet them earlier, this is Nick and Sarah. Everyone say hi, everyone. Say hi. Hi. All right. Yeah. And so kind of cutting to the chase here, not only his little feet, but before his little feet, God called you to be missionaries. How did that work? Why? What?
Yeah, so it all started about 10 years ago when his little feet was actually, it was their first year. And we were pastoring here in Fresno, my husband and I, and the founders came to us and said, hey, would you be interested in hosting the choir, the first choir? We said, absolutely, we'd love to have them come to our church. And so the first choir was made up of 15 children, all from the same place in northern Haiti, from an orphanage there. And so we brought them here, we had some of them in our home, and just enjoyed getting to know them on a personal level in our home, and it was an amazing experience to have the choir at our church and have such a warm welcome. So after the choir left, my children were just really moved. Our whole family was moved, and they came to us and said, we want to go and we want to visit where our new friends are from. And Nick and I were like, oh, goodness, okay. What is that going to look like? Okay, let's get that going. And so, several months later, we put a team together from our church and went down to Haiti for the very first time. It was a little nerve-wracking bringing our little ones, but we decided just to go forward and have faith that God would protect us. And it was an amazing experience. It was obviously life-changing because after that, we came home and realized that we had the capacity to not just love the children that were in our home, but for our family to go down and to serve at this orphanage, and to love the children there. And there's over 100 children at this orphanage, and they needed a mom and dad. They needed a mom and dad to love on them. And so we moved our whole entire family down, and we were actually mom and dad to not just our three, but we were mom and dad to 28 girls, and it was phenomenal. There's some of the girls back there that were in our home, and we wore a lot of hats down there, but one of the most amazing things was being able to be mom and dad to those children and just to love on them.
So what I hear you saying is, if you go to a church service and His Little Feet performs and you're a host family, chances are you're being called on the mission field. Is that what I heard you saying?
You never know.
You just never know. So tag, you're all or it. So from a husband's perspective, Nick, I know that God's calling you and you're probably just navigating, like, what does that look like? And can you get us inside the mindset from a father, from a husband, from a dad, from a man? Like, what was that looking like for you?
Yeah, right. On my end, there was definitely that unshakable burden that God was calling us to come to Haiti, which I could not shake. But at the same time, for about 9 to 12 months before we actually moved down there, after I knew God was calling us to go, I was dealing with some actual legitimate fears that that just happen and they come upon you. Not only the simple stuff, not simple is a good word for it, but the basic stuff like, you know, your stable job, your, you know, healthcare, 401k, moving your family to a developing country, but also the deeper stuff. And what I really struggled with, my biggest fear, was that something was going to happen to one of our kids out there on the mission field. And that was my, we have, you know, three biological children. That was my legitimate fear that I was dealing with. But I specifically remember one day, after many, many months of wrestling with this, that I just remember just putting my hands out to the Lord and saying, God, here you go. You have my yes. I can't shake this burden you've put on me. I'm going to go. I'm going to take my family. I just ask that you would protect us. Would you protect my children? And he said, Nick, not only am I going to protect you, but I'm going to increase you. And that was powerful. And we went, and the story is still going from what God's doing, and but it started with that yes.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So that yes, Sarah, that yes looked like adoption, right? Yeah, and I know that that's a part of Reaching Beyond the Walls is foster and adoption. Why don't you tell a little bit about how that worked for your family?
Yeah, so one of the blessings, obviously, that came out of us saying yes was not only just loving on the children down there, but God had bigger and better plans for our family, and that was to increase it. And he brought a little girl into our lives, and the mother was dying. And the mother brought the little girl to the orphanage that we were at. And right away, we decided this was going to be not just a temporary thing for us to take care of her. This was going to be a permanent thing. And so we went forth and did the adoption process. And now she's forever ours.
What's her name?
Her name is Chrysla. And in Creole, the native language, it means Christ is here. And her her mother named her that before she passed away.
So Nick, this picture up here, why don't you explain who are these lovely people next to you?
Yeah, well, you met my wife and I. My oldest is Anna, she's 16. My next oldest is Hallie, 13. There's Asher in the middle with the great smile. And there's Chrysla that we've been talking about.
And so, yeah, and this is your church home. I know that the kids are in kids ministry, and that your daughters are in student ministry here, and you guys have gone through Rooted. I mean, this is, you're going to be here most likely next weekend or next month, and so if you don't get a chance to connect with Nick and Sarah just about their story, you can definitely do it here. What service do you normally attend?
Second service.
So 11 o'clock, so you can do that as well. But as we close up this time here, why don't you explain a little bit what God, you said something beautiful. You had my yes. Right. What did that look like?
You know, I just want to say this, is that with that whole yes, is you never fully know, like when you're saying yes to God, when you feel him calling you into something, when you feel him beckoning you to move forward in some ministry or some calling, I want to say that you don't ever fully know what that's going to look like when you put your hand out to God and say, here's my yes. But what I do know is that he will blow your mind and he'll knock your socks off. And he did ours. We went for a one-year commitment to live in northern Haiti with a family of five. And God had other plans. And we returned 3 years later as a family of six. And it's just beautiful to step into the adventure that God, the walk of faith that God has for you. So
what I wanted you to do is I wanted you, because I believe there's power in story. Would you guys agree with me on there? There's power in hearing their story, but also hearing what it looks like to take yes next steps in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so you can meet after the service as well back there in the back. Would you please give a huge Cross City thank you to Nick and Sarah for sharing their story. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you. So what we're going to do is I'm going to really try to jump in and say something that has anything. It's not going to compete with what just happened right there. I just want to assure you of that. But with that said, I do think that that is the perfect backdrop to this message and wrapping up this series. Pastor David next weekend is going to be back, and he's going to be sharing some celebration of what God has done in the life of our church over 2018, and it's been a banner year. You don't want to miss the special announcements that we're going to be making next weekend as well about what God has in store for this next year. Please make sure that you are a part of that. I've been here at Cross City for a couple of years now, 2.5 years. And I'd have to say that this particular teaching series has been my favorite for a couple of reasons. First and foremost is because it's deeply biblical, it's very applicable, and I think it embraces the vision and the mission of our church. Our vision is to love God, love others, and serve the world, and that's what we're looking at this weekend. But our mission is to make more and better disciples. And I'm just going to go ahead and make no apologies. I'm going to push in on that a little bit today. I'm going to push in on what does it look like for us to become better disciples of Jesus. But this series is going to move on, and we may or may not forget it. My hope would be that as you get pinged, as you remember this series, you'd remember that there's some resources available from this teaching series as well. And they're available on our website at mycrosscity.com. Whether it is going to be the reading plan for reading through the year, whether it's going to be discipleship opportunities to grow in community, serve serving opportunities to serve within the side of the walls of the church, or even next steps. You'll notice there's an insert in your bulletin this weekend about some mission and some outreach opportunities. All those are going to be available for download on our website as you want to continue to think about next steps. But for the focus of this time that we have left this morning, what I want to do is I want us to focus beyond the walls of this church. And the reason why we're doing that isn't because it's our idea, but really it really was Jesus' idea. And he had these two strategic conversations with his closest disciples, one before he died and one after he died, that really say what I'm trying to say. He said it better, so let me read what he has to say in Matthew chapter 28, conversation number one with his disciples. He came and told them these words, "I have given you authority." Church, would you say the word authority? Authority. "I've given you authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Say all nations. All nations. So that is a conversation that Jesus had, a mountaintop conversation with his disciples during his time here on earth. And these disciples were continually trying to make it an us four, no more deal. They're trying to make it a one-on-one, one-on-some, let me sit at your left or on your right, or let's keep it with the 12, or let's keep it in Jerusalem or with the Jews. But Jesus said, no, I want you to blow out those walls of a mindset, because I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you power to be witnesses, literally, of all nations. A second conversation Jesus had was after he had died on a cross, defeated death, raised to new life. And he'd had a series of some days, 40 days, where he had appeared to many people, had conversations about what had happened, what was going to happen next. And in the very last conversation Jesus has with his disciples, we have it chronicled in these words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Jesus says these words. He says, "But you will receive power." Would you say the word power? Power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the purpose of that power will for you to be my witnesses. Can you say witnesses? Witnesses. So you are empowered to be witnesses, to tell people everywhere about me, the good news. And I want you to start in your Jerusalem, go to Judea, Samaria, and I want you to take it to the very end of the age. You see, I think the disciples would have, if this was a conversation, they would have probably wanted some Q&A. They might have wanted to come up with a strategic plan. They might have wanted to come up with how it would benefit them the most. But Scripture tells us after Jesus makes this statement, this command, he is then taken up into heaven. And I don't know what that looks like, but all I know is this conversation was done. Give you an A for flair, Jesus, on that one right there. Definitely going to remember that one. But in essence, what Jesus was saying is, I want it to start in your Jerusalem, which would have been the hub of Judaism, and I want you to move it beyond those walls to Judea, to Samaria, and I want you to get your passports and TSA pre-check ready, because you're going to go on a mission trip. I've called this message portable charger, and here's why. Because a portable charger is something that we can all relate with. If you have a phone, if you have a device, if you've been on a long trip recently, if you've been on a missions trip, you've carried one of these around. These are very helpful. Can I hear an amen to that, right? Yeah. Some of you that got a janky phone, this is your reality. You carry this plugged into your phone all day long because you never know when it might die. And for the purposes of this message, what I want to say is I think this is what Jesus is saying to us today. He's saying this is, you are empowered. You are portable charging stations. You're plugged in. You're connected in community. You're loved. You're disciples. Now I want you to take it to the streets. I want you to move it beyond the walls of your comfort zone. If you will, just kind of track with me here for a little bit. This whole series up to this point has pretty much been me focused and us focused. It's been worship and it's been reading God's word. Very important. It's been serving and doing life in community. Incredibly important. But this does a pivot. This does a shift. And this is the big idea from the message. It's not a fill in the blank. It's not a next step on your notes. But if you would think about this or process this or write a couple of these things down on the notes on either your app or that's there in your bulletin in front of you. Here is the big idea. And that is simply this, is that for us to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we have to move beyond our walls. We cannot stay confined with inside the walls, but we must become Holy Spirit-empowered witnesses beyond the walls of our church. If you're serious about being a fully devoted, a better follower, a better disciple of Jesus, you cannot do that inside the comfortable walls of Cross City Christian Church. And I know what happens is that we'll hear a story from Nick and Sarah, or we'll see a children's choir, we'll become inspired, but then we'll become very uncomfortable and a little bit insecure. And we're going to say, there is no way I'm going to India, Brent. I know where this goes. I'm not going to Mexico. What happens is a lot of times we're going to think it's all or nothing. And what I want to say is no, but it needs to be something. You need to say yes to where God is leading. What is your Judea? What is your Samaria? What does it look like for you to embrace the ends of the earth? For a first century Jewish person hearing this, Jerusalem would have been their cross city. People that look similar to them, think similar, live close to them. Not everything in common, but most things in common. But for them, their Judea would have looked different. It literally would have been beyond the walls of Jerusalem. If you've been to Jerusalem, there's a wall around it. So beyond the walls and going to the north, you would have seen Judea. And Judea would have been most likely other Jewish people, but just living a geographical distance away. And for us today, we have Judea. We have places that we can take, if you will, the message to the streets. I think about our Bike Masters ministry, of how we have a group of people, men and women, that love to share the gospel, but they do it through a unique medium called a bicycle repair shop on wheels. We take it to communities that need to hear Christ that maybe are under-resourced and developed, and we can go and do something for those communities that they cannot do for themselves, but we can do it in the name of Jesus. I think about the Lexington Square apartment outreach, or the Pinedale Elementary Salsa Festival, ways that we can go to our Judea, geographically far, but we can share the gospel with them. Now, where it gets a little bit, what does that look like? Okay, those are church-wide, but what else? Well, there's a lot of things that you're doing. For those of you that have been through Rooted, you know that there's been a serve experience, and that's in your Judea. Maybe it's been serving a meal at the Ronald McDonald House or through the Terry's House ministry downtown for people whose children are dying. Possibly you're part of our seniors ministry and you've done ministry with inside the walls, not of this place, but of an assisted living facility. And we do Bible studies there and sing. Women have taken their crafts and their Pinterest obsession, and they've started ministries with yarn ministries and angel babies and honor quilts. Men have taken their love of barbecuing meat, and they've made breakfasts for FCA. All I know is that there's been these opportunities where we've been able to take the message to the streets in our Judea, Clovis, Fresno, Visalia, and yes, even the Ranchos. But what about Samaria? Samaria is one of those locations that a good Jewish person would not have wanted to go to. Samaria, if you've heard of the story that Jesus talked about, the parable of the Good Samaritan, that would have been offensive for a good Jewish person because they know nothing good comes from Samaria. And to be a good Samaritan was an oxymoron. But for Jesus to say, I want you to go to Samaria, it was not only a geographical challenge for them, but it would have been a social and a cultural and an ethnic challenge and a religious challenge as well. Now, we have some Samarias not too far away here in Fresno. Our church supports homelessness, of how we can come in and feed those who are hungry through the Fresno Rescue Mission. Human trafficking through World Impact. And even going beyond the walls of this church and inside the walls of the prison ministry through Kairos Ministry. There are ways that you can say yes to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and stay on mission and go to Samaria. But what about this thing called the ends of the earth? Well, that's where it gets a little bit scary, because sometimes we love to parse. Well, no, that's Jerusalem. No, that's Judea. No, that's Samaria. But there's no parsing ends of the earth. That's really big. And we have been called out to go and to reach those to the very four corners of the world. And for some of you, that might mean saying yes to going on a Mexico missions trip in the next couple of months, or being a part of one of our trips to India in the next few months as well. Now, spoiler alert, for those of you that are thinking about going on a Mexico missions trip in the next couple of months, that does not mean hands-on beach ministry in Cabo or Cancun. I want to tell you that. But it does mean partnering together with a missionary family from our church, the Doy family, who is reaching an unreached people group. Now, the kids just a little bit ago, and Nick mentioned, there's something beautiful about every tribe and every tongue and every nation proclaiming Jesus Christ, because that's what we have a snapshot of in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9. You've got to go to those places where they've not yet heard the gospel. And that's why our church has such a huge heart, geographically and culturally and religiously, for this nation in India. You might be thinking to yourself, why would 25 people go to an interest meeting last week to spend their summer vacation in India? Well, the reason is because the need is great. What we know is that there's only 2% of those living in India that would profess Christ as their Lord and Savior. And in a nation that large, that means that there are 1.2 billion people currently living that do not yet know Christ living in India. And you were to take the current population of the United States and you were to multiply it by four, that's how many people we're talking about in India that do not yet know Christ. When we start thinking about reaching unreached people groups, there's over 2,000 unreached people groups. And all these resources came off of a website of a ministry that we support called Mid India Child. Our very own Tommy and Shiny are a big part of that. Missionaries that we have in India, the Lal family that are there, that are on the streets with the abandoned and the orphaned in India, that are there creating an oasis of love for children with physical and mental challenges, and are there to care and to equip and to empower and train and teach children that God loves them and has a plan for their life. We call this strategy at Cross City, and I know that this is probably a review for some of you, but brand new information for a lot of you because our church has grown. We call this strategy GPS. And no, it's not the GPS in your car, but it's close. It's an acronym that we use, and we call it Go, Pray, Send. Would you write that down on your notes? That's your fill in the blank. Go, Pray, Send. And inside of your notes this weekend and online, there's an insert. And you can check the box. You can put your name down there. You can even drop this card off in the lobby on your way out today. And some representatives from our GPS team would be there. And they'd love to answer any questions that you have. But a lot of times we think to ourselves, well, how in the world does something like that get funded? And how it gets funded is that whenever you give a dollar to the church, the first 10% of that dollar goes beyond the walls of this church to outreach. And last year, you not only gave over 10%, and we'll give you some numbers next week, but you gave well beyond that in special offerings. For example, our one-day offering, where we partnered together with Convoy of Hope for disaster relief, or where we partnered locally here through the issue of life through Pregnancy Care Center. We've seen what's happened in New York this last week, haven't we, church? And we know we need to be praying for life in our world. See, prayer changes things. I'm going to say that one more time. Prayer, what? Changes things. And it is. And it is a big world, and there's a lot of need. One of the things I love about going to Pastor Jim's office, who's our missions pastor, is he has a book on his table, and it's called Praying for the World. And whenever you have a meeting with Jim, we open in prayer, and I somehow get called to pray for the world. But you know what happens is you can pray for the world without a book. You can pray for the world by watching the nightly news. You can pray for Venezuela. You can pray for the Middle East, because prayer changes things. Yeah, we can send, and it takes resources to send, but we can pray, and it takes spiritual resources to pray, but we can also go. If you want to go, what you're doing is you're saying yes to the big idea for the message, and that is that if you want to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, we've got to be willing at times to move outside of our comfort zone and say yes to God. I believe right now that the Holy Spirit is tugging on some of your hearts to possibly say yes to Him this summer. I know Sarah and Nick did. I know that many of you have. And I know for me, it started at a young age on a Sunday night service in Portland, Oregon, seeing missionaries coming in from Africa and saying, God's calling some of you. And I'm sitting back there saying, he ain't calling me. I ain't going there. And for 3.5 years ago, for me to have been given the thrill of a lifetime to be able to take a team of 25 people to Kenya, Africa, to an orphanage, who would have thunk? God did. Guys, I need you to know something, that when you say yes to God and his calling, it changes things. You are portable power chargers for Christ. And he wants you to take it to the streets. He wants you to take it beyond the walls of this place. But as I'm beginning the process of kind of getting you to think about a couple hard things, there's some of you that are already asking the hard questions. How can a small charger like me make a difference in a big broken world like this? You ever thought that before? I mean, how is it just not throwing my money down the toilet? Because I just want to acknowledge that we do live in a beautiful but deeply broken world. Sin has marred us, and we are now, we are living in systemic brokenness and poverty. And you don't need to go to a developing world to go to shacks without running water and heat and no guaranteed food. You can go right here to central Fresno. And it'd be very easy for us to kind of look a blind eye and say, that's not my problem, that's someone else's problem. But the problem with that is that you're completely missing the point. This last week on my Bible reading through YouVersion app, the Bible verse of the day came from Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, as I was finalizing this message prep, and it says that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. And then we just ask that question, well, then who is my neighbor? And a lot of times we think it's the neighbor with the yappy dog behind us. But the truth is, it's not the yappy dog behind us. It's Jerusalem, it's Judea, it's Samaria. It's to the othermost parts of the earth. See, a lot of times we're going to say, you know, Brent, that really isn't my problem. And I'm just going to say what Jesus would say is then you're missing the issue. And the issue is that there will be some that one day will stand before God and say, hey, Jesus, remember me. And he's going to say, I don't know you. Because I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. I was an orphan, and you didn't give a crap. I was homeless, and you just turned a blind eye. And those aren't my words. Those are the words of Jesus. And when I begin to think about a church that becomes inwardly focused and it's only focusing in on their own things, it reminds me of some words, hard words, that John wrote to this church some 50, 60 years after Christ had died and the church had become complacent. And this is what John 3:17 says, that if anyone has material possessions, sees someone in need, but has no pity on them, question, how can the love of God be in that person? Hard words, but I've heard it say that you can give without love, but you cannot love and not give. So what do we do? Well, what we do is we begin to wrap our heads around the problem. And we acknowledge that there is a problem. And it is systemic, but there is a solution. Guys, the problem is, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. There's bad news. And that is that there's poverty. And it is a result of brokenness. But don't even begin to think that poverty has to do with just finances, though finances are a big part of it. You can be financially rich and morally bankrupt. You can have lots of money in the account and be relationally poor. You can be set financially and spiritually broke. How? Well, it's all been carbon dated back to the original fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. And we see this brokenness, this division, this contamination of our thoughts and of our purposes, and we have to fight that through the hope that we have in Christ. You see, there's bad news, and the bad news, there is brokenness, and it is systemic, but there is hope, and he has a name, and it is Jesus. That would have been a good time for someone to say amen. Because if you would, write this down. The good news is that Jesus is our hope. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, no, Brent, that's what you say. No, that's actually what he said. Jesus walked into the temple in Jerusalem, inside the walls. They were waiting for a Messiah. They're waiting for one to come who would be the Son of the living God. They're thinking of some kind of a military leader, but he came in as a rabbi, as a teacher. And this is what Jesus does. He has a scroll. He reads a scroll. It's from the prophet Isaiah. And he says these words, "The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to who, everyone? The poor." The good news is the gospel, and he wants it to go to the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And a few verses later, people will hear Jesus utter with these words, "And I am the one. I am he." Because Jesus is the only hope to our systemic brokenness. Without him, our desire for community is going to turn into a gym membership in the Moose Lodge. Our desire for inspiration from his word, without his word, is going to turn into self-help and misguided words of wisdom. So what do? Guys, we point it back to Jesus. These are the next steps. First, we need to remember that only Jesus saves, but we have been called to serve. Jesus is in the restoration business. He's in the reconciliation business, and he wants us to grab a towel and start washing some feet. Because we're not the answer to people's problems. Only Jesus is the answer. And I know it's not politically correct, but I'm at the right church for that, to say, without Jesus, we're all dead on arrival. We're without luck. We need Jesus. And number two, the broken are not a project for us to fix, but they are people for us to love. Because only the love of Jesus can heal the earthly hurts that people have and begin to give them a hope for eternity with him. You saw that in the faces of these children today, did you not? And I think that God is stirring in our hearts, and he's reminding all of us that it is not us and them, it's we need Jesus. I leave you with this as the band comes to close our time out together, that we've divided the world into those who need help and those who offer help. But the truth is, we are what? Both. Guys, we're all broken. We desperately need to be fixed. And the only solution is the blood of the Lamb of Christ. There are some of you that have come here today and you are broken. You are in need of a spiritual makeover. You need hope. You're hurting. You have nowhere to look. You're on your back and you're looking up. And I want you to know what you see is you see a God that is not mad at you, that does not hate you. He's not disappointed in you. He loves you. And he wants to forgive you of your sins, but you need to acknowledge your need for him and your sinfulness before him. There's others of us that we have been redeemed. We have been restored in and through Christ, but we've not been obedient. We've become complacent. We continue to turn a blind eye to the needs that don't directly impact us positively. We've made it all about our Bible reading, all about our small group, all about serving, all about making sure our seats saved on Sunday morning. And we just have turned a blind eye to what God is doing beyond the walls of this church. I'm not up here to make you feel bad. I'm up here to be obedient to the scriptures that says, I want you to go. And I'm with you, and I'm going to empower you to be my witnesses. And there's a world out there that desperately needs Jesus, but as long as we're hunkered here, fighting and squabbling over silly little stuff, we're never going to be on mission the way Christ wants us to be on mission. Because I believe with all my heart that there is an army that could leave here today and take ground for the kingdom. We just got to be willing to say yes. Be obedient to his call in our life. I'm not sure what your next step is today. Maybe it's saying yes to going on a missions trip through GPS. It's serving. It's going out, taking this, filling that, insert out. Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's saying, would you just pray with me? In just a moment, our pastors and spiritual directors are going to come up here. They'd love to pray with you. Whatever, wherever the Holy Spirit is leading, we want to help you take next steps in a growing relationship with Jesus. But most importantly, if you've not yet surrendered your life to him, or you have been so long since you've said yes to him, you need to make a rededication of your life. Maybe some of you need to go public and be baptized this morning as your way of saying is yes to him. Whatever it is, I hope and I pray that you'll make that decision. Would you stand to your feet at this time as the band closes in this final song and as we give our life and our yes to him? Amen and amen.